The debate over genetically modified crops, GMO in the universal shorthand, reached fever pitch in Oregon this year. It was just over a month ago that Jackson County voters passed a ballot measure to ban GMO crops on agricultural lands in the county. The state of Oregon was hoping to take a somewhat different approach. The state wanted to map GMO farms to help people using and not using GMOs keep their crops well separated. As you might guess, it's been slow going and probably slower still now in Jackson County. Let's talk about the process and what has happened so far and where it's likely to go from here. Chris Hardy is with us in the studio once again from GMO-free Jackson County. You were the chief petitioner, too, on the ballot measure.
Affirmative, yep, Jeffrey.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You got what you were looking for. Before the passage of this ballot measure, which again was unique because the state of Oregon legislature had already moved to say no states, no counties can actually vote on GMO crops, but they grandfathered Jackson County's ordinance in, right?
That's affirmative. By the passage of and signing of Senate Bill 863 by Governor Kitzhaber last fall, that essentially eliminated the possibilities that any other county across the state would be able to regulate or ban or do whatever they wanted to do with GMO genetically engineered crops. That would be left to legislators in Salem by passing that bill.
Now, part of the process, though, I mean, I believe what the vision was of the governor's office was, we'll try to keep the counties from making these county-by-county determinations GMO while we do something else. And the something else is the mapping or pinning, is that right?
That's exactly right. The pinning is what there is the next phase of this. And I believe they have until December to come up with a plan before the next legislative session.
All right, so what does pinning mean? I mean, just kind of walk us into what we're talking about here and what the whole pinning process means.
So pinning, we have an excellent example. We could look at the Willamette Valley Specialty Seed Association, the WVSSA, and that organization in the Willamette is basically a bunch of seed producers, seed growers that have come together more than 20 years ago to figure out how to keep their seeds pure and isolated from other seeds. And that allows them to grow high-quality seeds with some degree of certainty that those seeds are pure and true to type.
All right. So, but the pinning process is really just a case of identifying where things are. I mean, is it literally as simple as putting pins in a map and saying here's where the GMO sites are?
So so the WVSSA isn't exclusively about GMOs or not GMOs. It's about keeping seeds pure and isolated, whether they're hybrids or organic or non-GMO or genetically engineered. So
just to make sure there's no cross-pollination, no matter what it is.
You
just
yeah, no keep matter your, what yeah, it is, okay. Because you're shooting for a high-quality seed, as we found with the case with Southern Oregon Seed Growers Association. You know, that's why that organization was set up, was to do the same as what the WVSSA is up to. And that organization got off the ground early 2013, and that process ended with the world's largest chemical company walking out saying, we're not interested to work with Southern Oregon farmers.
That was Syngenta?
That was the Swiss company Syngenta, who's the company who's banned to produce the technology in their own country, was here working, you know, and we had this trust and this faith that this process was going to work out. That's why the farmers who showed up for the Southern Oregon Seed Growers Association did so. We had the understanding mutually, collectively throughout Josephine and Jackson County that all farmers were there to work towards the process of coexistence. That process failed as they sent one of their higher-ups down to talk with the farmers and say, this process no longer works in our interests, and they walked out of those talks at that point.
So had Syngenta or Syngenta's reps been part of the whole process up until that point? I mean, had they been part of the formation of the Southern Oregon Seed Growers Association?
Yes, they were a part of that. The manager for Southern Oregon Seed Production was in that process, was there at every one of those meetings for nearly 6 months to bring the farmers all together.
And was there a particular turn in the process that precipitated the departure?
I believe getting ready to commit and getting ready to put their pins on a map and stating where their sites for their genetically engineered crops were located. That was something that they were not interested to do in public or in the Southern Oregon Seed Growers Association meetings. They were not very keen on the idea of making this information available to anybody. They wanted to keep these locations secret. So at the point that we were ready to put pins on the map was the time they sent their attorney from Texas over to let the farmers of Southern Oregon know they were no longer interested to work together on the process.
So you say you were ready to put the pins in the map, so you had basically done, it sounds like, all the work up until that point. You'd figured out where everything was, what it was that was growing, and I don't know, were there color codes on the map or something? Was this a computerized map? Was it as simple as something in a wall with a cork board behind it?
Computerized map using Google Maps, mm-hmm. and just to show where all the different the different brassicas, the different types of betas, sugar beets and chard and tomatoes and lettuce and, you name it. All of these things are on the map, and that's just again, helps ensure the purity and integrity of the seeds that our farmers produce.
You know, if Syngenta was concerned about people, and this would have been a matter of public record, I mean, the pinning would have been out there in the public for anybody to see?
So the pinning would not have been the public piece. Yeah. The organization, how it works, all the details, the rules, how the organization worked would have been public. Are public, currently public. The location where those pins are not public information. You cannot just go to Soska's website and see where Jeff Josephine and Jackson County farmers have their pins in the map. That is kept within the organization itself for our own reasons within the organization, that we feel like we're going to get more participation. If everybody knows where they're all at, they're like, oh, well, why do I need to be a part of the association? I already know where all the farmers are growing things. I'll just keep mine. You know, there's that, I guess, that concern that we really want people to honor the system and take part in the process.
I can see where somebody who would have been growing a crop that was somewhat controversial, as in GMO sugar beets, wouldn't have wanted their stuff out there in public on these maps, which is this the concern that Syngenta expressed, even though the maps were not necessarily or weren't going to be public?
I'm not clear of your question.
The question is that you can see how somebody would be concerned about, well, gee, if I tell people where my crops are and they don't like my crops, they can come destroy my crops. Syngenta did have some of their sugar beet crops destroyed, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And from what I've heard, some say they may have even done that. But there's a concern that others may do something to their crop if that is public information. So I know they've expressed concern about that. So that was probably their number one thing. They said, oh, well, this is proprietary. And if those are made public, somebody could find the fields and destroy them. But it's clear now that we've passed the initiative where we seem to be past that stage of any concern.
Well, that is the next logical question. Let me invite our listeners to join us again. We're talking about GMO crops in Jackson County, or GMO crops in general across the state of Oregon, an effort of the state to encourage the pinning process of putting pins in a map in a computerized sense to let people know where certain crops are growing so that they can make sure that their crops don't contaminate one another. A big concern, obviously, with GMO crops. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760. Our guest is Chris Hardy from GMO Free Jackson County, chief petitioner for Jackson County's successful measure banning the growing of GMO crops on lands within the agricultural parts of the county. Rogue Valley local number 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. So where you just left it off is the logical place. It's kind of a moot point. There's not going to be any pinning in Jackson County because there, by this ordinance, won't be any GMO crops in Jackson County.
Yeah, it seems to be the case. Though we live in the Rogue Valley, Rogue Valley is world-class seed-producing area. We do a lot of trading and a lot of farm products, a lot of seeds and vegetable products come in and across the county line. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens legally with the Josephine County ballot measure that passed.
Because the Josephine County ballot measure was not included in the Senate Bill 863 and allowed to go ahead by the legislature, right?
Correct. Josephine County was forbidden to move ahead with their forbidden to ban genetically engineered crops. They went ahead and put it on the ballot, feeling that citizens had the right to make that, as home rule, had the right to make that decision locally.
All right. So for Jackson County now, I mean, what are the steps that are going on right now in the passage of the ballot measure that bans GMO crops? I mean, is there much contact with county offices looking for ways to implement this ban? Or they just take the law as it is and start moving ahead with it without any consultation with you? What's been going on?
So right now we are waiting legally to see what the legal, what's going to happen legally with the, if anything. And
has the election been certified? Do you at least have that one?
The election has been certified. It was certified, I believe, was it the 10th of June?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
All right,
and
so 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago. And so we're anticipating contact with the county and helping support them along the way in the process to make sure that they have all the tools they need and the support they need to ensure that anybody who's growing these crops are able to dispose of them. Primarily, we're talking about the alfalfa. The others are all annuals. Sugar beets are being grown by the chemical company, and they have suggested they will be gearing up to be pulling out of Jackson County here in the near future.
You mentioned disposal. So is that one of the provisions of the Jackson County measure, that any existing crops have to be pulled out of the ground?
So the alfalfa, how you dispose of alfalfa is you till it or you disc it. You disc it, then you till it down to, I believe, 8 inches, something like that. And it may have to be done twice. And now's the prime time to be doing it here in the peak of summer. And it doesn't appear to be, from the farmers I've spoken with in southern Oregon, to dispose of alfalfa is a pretty easy, relatively easy task.
It sounds like, from what you said a couple of minutes ago, is there's a certain level of bracing waiting for the other shoe to drop. Do you anticipate court action against the Jackson County ordinance?
We do anticipate some legal action coming up against the Jackson County ordinance. So that's it seems pretty consistent with what the chemical companies have been doing with the Vermont Labeling Initiative, as well as litigation happening in Hawaii on a similar level as what Jackson County has just done here with the ordinance to ban the growth of genetically engineered crops.
Let us take a call. We have Kent in Rogue River on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about GMOs in Jackson County on two fronts, about mapping statewide in Oregon and also about the progress ahead, since Jackson County now is the only county in the state that has an ordinance banning the growing of GMO crops. We're talking to Chris Hardy. Kent, welcome to the Exchange.
Good morning. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Kent.
My question is, the pinning that the state appears to be proposing looks like a duplication of what the Southern Oregon Seed Growers Association is doing. Has there been any attempt by the state to contact Southern Oregon Seed Growers Association to coordinate?
Boy, I'm not aware of any outreach done by the state to SOSCA, nor am I aware of any outreach to the Willamette Valley Specialty Seed Association. Incidentally, one of the members of the WVSSA, a part of the Sugar Beet Association that worked so hard to defeat the Jackson County measure, is actually on the task force that the governor put together, interestingly enough.
And so what is that task force set up to do?
That task force is set up to come up with a policy for genetically engineered crops and mapping those crops throughout the state of Oregon.
If the mapping ends up being done under a public body as opposed to a private association like the Southern Oregon Seed Growers Association, it becomes public record then, doesn't it?
Yes.
So any maps would be out in the public domain.
You know, I'm not sure how they would manage that. I'm guessing the way the chemical companies roll is secrecy, you know. But they say it sounds like this is all about more transparency. Though, you know, it ultimately at the end of the day, we'll see just how transparent it is. You know, if those maps are, you know, kept by a few people, or if they're something that you could just go to a website, that will be interesting to find out how they do that.
Give me some comparisons here, because you've mentioned the Willamette Valley Specialty Seeds Association, the WVSSA, a couple of times, and of course your own, the Southern Oregon Seed Growers Association. It sounds like, from what you just said, that the WVSSA at least has some buy-in to the process from people who are using genetically modified crops in the Willamette Valley. Is that a fair assessment?
That is a fair assessment. Unlike how Southern Oregon works down here, we had basically one chemical company growing the Roundup Ready sugar beets and a few other farmers growing genetically engineered alfalfa. In the Willamette Valley, there are a number of growers, say the sugar beets, for instance, they're growing for seeds up there which create pollen. And there are many other beta growers up there. Beta is the family of the sugar beet and chard, who are growing either table beets or chard. So they have this pinning system up there that allows people to grow and keep these crops all isolated. It works up there, apparently, though. Some farmers who I've talked to say they basically have to test their seed. That's the bottom line. You know, many scientists, people, seed breeders that I've spoken with understand that the pollen will travel not just the 4 miles like the USDA required at the time that the sugar beets were regulated, but at a much larger distance, say upwards of 10 miles. Some scientists that I have spoken to say, or beyond 10 miles. So what does that mean when you've got a pin that's non-GMO and 4 miles away you have a genetically engineered pin that is of the same family? That, in a sense, runs contrary to some of the farmers and seed breeders and scientists that I have spoken with.
But it's a 4 mile buffer then that is being sought in most cases?
4 mile buffer, I believe, is actually, I think it's, yeah, geez, I can't remember, between the Washington pinning system and it's either 3 or 4 miles from GMO to non-GMO. So that, you know, again, that's their best guess. They say it should be a safe distance, and that's what they've chosen as the industry standard. The people who are growing non-GMO in the Willamette that I know have those seeds tested to ensure that they are not putting something that has contamination into the packets and selling them to their customers.
But the system, as you describe it, sounds entirely voluntary. So, I mean, the fact of pinning only indicates where things are. At some point, though, I mean, it seems like if you're a non-GMO farmer and your land is here, mm-hmm. you're not going to move your land, and somebody is within 4 miles of you and they want to grow the genetically modified version of the same crop you're growing, are you basically out of luck if they decide they don't want to voluntarily stop themselves?
Well, we'll come back to what the opposition to our Jackson County measure was calling themselves, good neighbor farmers, right? And that's, you know, the chemical corporations that work so hard to defeat the initiative. They say, well, why don't you just let everybody be good neighbor, you know, good neighbors, just contact your neighbor and work it out. So I think in the case of the Willamette Valley Specialty Seed Association that has been ongoing for 2.5 decades, nearly, it probably puts you in bad standing with all your neighborly farmers, that, you know, especially the chemical guys that are a little bit more high profile. They know where their big, super huge plots are. So, you know, those people have an incentive to be a part of that process. Otherwise, they could, you know, they might not do so well in the public eye. So it seems like that works for them up there. You know, what's to keep a guy from putting a you know, few rows of genetically engineered sweet corn someplace, you know, that could be a problem.
Why do you suppose that the voluntary system that appears to work in the Willamette Valley couldn't take root, to pardon the expression, in the Rogue Valley?
Why the pinning system, the WVSSA?
Well, I mean, why essentially Syngenta walked out? Why? I mean, because Syngenta is actually part of the process in the Willamette Valley, isn't it?
Syngenta is a part of the process, and well, actually, they're not, as far as I know, a part of the process. They're actually the recipient to all those seeds. Without all of those farmers up there and their big seed production farms growing seeds for Syngenta, they would probably not have the industry that they have. Actually,
I understand the relationship a little better now.
That's reverse. Actually, Syngenta gives these guys the seeds to produce. They buy them from Syngenta. They then sell them on to the people who are producing sugar for the world.
So if you had to make a guess, I mean, obviously Jackson County has gone through its situation and is in the process of setting up this ordinance now, passed by your ballot measure. If you had to make a guess about what happens in the rest of the state of Oregon, what might that be?
That the measure of the Senate Bill 863 will be legally challenged. It's very clear that they do not have, the state does not have authority to take such powers into their own hands to prohibit, you know, genetically engineered crops, which are really about control. They're not about feeding the world.
Which could lead to more county votes. So we will see what happens down the road. Chris Hardy is with GMO-Free Jackson County, the chief petitioner of the ballot measure that passed in Jackson County to ban genetically modified crops. Chris, thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.